to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're so glad to have you with us. If you're listening on the radio, you are listening to WMKT, 1270 AM and 102.3 FM. And you are listening to First Baptist Church of Petoskey. And you can find our website at FBC Tag or GodMyFriend.com. We've been looking at the book of Hebrews, and in that book so far from the Bible, we have seen that our perfect Savior, Jesus, our perfect High Priest, has given us a perfect salvation. We are welcome now in the Holy of Holies, God's very presence, because our sin has been taken away. This is God's new covenant. I will remember your sins no more. People who've had their sin removed completely have no reason to die, so we will not. Jesus said, whoever lives, believes in me will not see death. And so now we're reading in Hebrews chapter 11 with the roll call of people who did not fear death. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word and how much you love us. How much you think about us and are always thinking about us, whether plans for us or appreciation of us or listening to us or contemplating us. And we know that you're thinking about us all the time. We're told so in the Psalms. And we know that we get busy and we're not omniscient and we can only think of one or two things at a time. And so we tend to forget about you when we get on with our lives, we get busy. And the Heavenly Father, thank you for not giving up on us or forgetting us. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those that Tom mentioned today, and we add to Herb, some of those know him, that he is having heart problems right now. We pray that you'll be with him and his family and lead in his life and the family's lives. Heavenly Father, you are a good God. You are faithful to us every day. You care about us every day. Help us now to listen to what you have to say to us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 11, let's start at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by faith the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. He spoke, and they came into existence. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So last week we talked about Abel, and this week we're going to talk about Enoch. Let's go back there and read the original record, back to Genesis chapter 5, and see what we're told about Enoch way back there in the beginning of the book. Remember that Enoch is one of Adam's great-grandsons, great-great-grandson, whatever it is. And so this is how life is living out now. And chapter 5 and verse 21 of Genesis, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. Also all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And when he was merely a spring chicken at 365 years old, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's not much to preach a message on unless you've read the rest of the Bible and you bring the rest of the Bible in, eh? So let's do that. What do we know about Enoch? We know that he walked with God, and so he pleased God. Remember that in Genesis chapter 3, we see that God had created Adam for walking with him in the garden. That God has created Adam and all of his sons and all of his daughters, that's everyone that I'm talking to today, including myself, we were all created for fellowship with God. We were not created as a laboratory experiment. We were not created so that Jesus might demonstrate his goodness on the cross. We were created only for one reason, for fellowship with God. We were not created that we might live all of our days praising God. God would have to be an egomaniac to create a race of people so that they could praise him, and it would cost his son his life. But no, God created us that we might be his friends. But for us to be his friends, he had to give us free will, choice. And if we have the ability to choose, at some point we're going to choose sin. And if we sin, then someone has to pay for it. And Jesus was the only one who could pay for it because he was God and man. As man, he could die for us, but as God, he could die for all of us. And so we were created for fellowship. So very early in the book of Genesis, we have this record of this man who's walking with God. He is fulfilling Adam's purpose. And because God appreciated that so much, he said, I'm going to make an example of this man so that everyone who follows can understand how much I appreciate someone who walks with me. Isn't that great? Again, that's nothing I thought up. That's something God has put there for us to find and to see. These truths, these wonderful truths, have been waiting there for us all these years to find them. And so God wants us to know that he really, really appreciates it when we walk with him. As a side note, let's go ahead and look at someone that we know a little bit more about. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. And as soon as I say that reference, many of you will know who I'm talking about. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to King Ahab, who was not walking with the Lord, who was not following the Lord, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand. Now that's his introduction. King Ahab, you don't know me, you don't know anything about me, but here's everything you need to know about me. God lives, and I stand before him. Now Elijah had a servant that stood before him, and Elijah's servant would wash his hands and cook the meals and do these things. And then Elisha became Elijah's servant, and Elisha would stand before Elijah. And then Elisha had a servant, Gehazi, and Gehazi would stand before Elisha. What can I do for you, master? So what Elijah is saying here is that there is a living God, and he and I spend a lot of time together because we walk together. And he is the God before whom I stand. I serve him continually. Everything that I do, I try to do for him. And so here I am today serving God. There shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. And so we know the story of Elijah. We won't do the whole thing. But here is Elijah. Because he walked with God, he dared to confront the king, daring his wrath. You know, the king could turn to him and say, that's the most offensive thing I've heard in a long time. Grab that man. After that, he went into seclusion, into isolation. At that same time, he gave up his income. Remember that he lived by the brook Cherith, living by carrion birds, by ravens bringing him food. Well, ravens get their food from the carcasses on the side of the road. And so he's eating incredibly nasty, you know, from whatever food he's eating, it is from incredibly nasty birds. You wouldn't even want to touch them, let alone eat from their claws. And then he went and lived with a foreign woman and her son in poverty, way in the north there. He stayed single all of his life. Eventually, he went back to confront Ahab, preaching a stinging sermon. And then he, of course, realized that all of that was for nothing. No one had repented, and then he had to recover from failure. Now, the point is this. If you made a list, and I have such lists, I didn't look at one this week, sometime I'll do that. If you made a list of all of the things that people fear the most, Elijah went through it. He dared death. He endured isolation. You and I think we would like isolation. You wouldn't like isolation. You know, I don't mind getting out in the woods and walking in the trees and, you know, being by myself and all that. But, you know, when they want to get to punish a prisoner, they put him in isolation in the prison system. I remember seeing a few years ago a special on a prison, and this was for the hardest of the hard. And all of these guys were in lockdown isolation every day of the week, every hour of the day. That would be a hard way to live. It's hard to maintain your sanity. But Elijah endured isolation. Though we fear isolation, he endured it because he walked with God. Elijah lived in poverty. Though we fear the big bill that we can't pay, and we fear how in the world are we going to retire, he lived in poverty and embraced poverty. He dared disease with those birds. He lived as a single man. Some of us hate being single. Some of us were not born to be single. Some of us were born to be single. It doesn't bother us so much. Some of us hate it. You know, I was never born to be single. And then public speaking, of course. And then failure. And I don't know if it's on the list, but he also endured an international manhunt for himself. Death, poverty, sickness, disease, singleness, public speaking, and failure. But they didn't matter to him. They didn't get to him. They didn't make him back down. Well, there for a little bit when he failed. But he was okay because he walked with God. When we walk with God, we can do anything. We can endure anything. These were not, of course, the only two people who walked with God, but God is making a serious point with us. You know, you maybe haven't thought of it yet, but you know as well as I do what happened to Elijah. 2 Kings 2:11, quote, "Suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." Chariot of fire and a whirlwind came to get Elijah. I don't know what came to get Enoch, but a chariot of fire for Elijah with angels in attendance and a whirlwind. What is God saying? Here is Enoch who walked with God and God took him because he pleased him. Here is Elijah who walked with God fearing nothing and God took him. What's he trying? Point is he trying to make? That he really, really, really appreciates people who walk with him. Of course, he really, really appreciated David. And what did David come crying? The battle is the Lord's. I'm running out on this field. I am not alone. I run out here with God. I'm out here for His sake. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword nor spear in my hand, for the battle is the Lord's. Why did God pick David to be king? Because he walked with God every day. Because David knew that he was there. Remember that in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached to thousands of Jesus' enemies. In Acts chapter 4, he told them how he could do that. In Acts chapter 4, verse 10, he said, I just want you to understand, I did not heal this person. Jesus healed this person because Jesus is here with me. I walk with Jesus, and Jesus walks with me. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul the apostle of Jesus Christ, to the faithful who are, what? Remember? It's been a long time, I know. Who are in Christ Jesus. Paul says, not only are we walking with Jesus, we are in Christ Jesus. That's about as close as a walk as you can get, eh? But that is, of course, a positional walk and a salvation walk. It is not necessarily how we live our lives kind of a walk, is it? Because we get busy and we forget God and we think about everything but God sometimes. We expect God to walk with us, don't we? Joshua chapter 1, I'll never leave you. Psalm 23, Yahweh is my shepherd, even the valley of the shadow of death. Isaiah 43, I'll go with you through the flood and through the fire. In Daniel chapter 4, there was a fourth man with the boys. We expect God to walk with us. We expect Him to be faithful to us. We expect Him to listen to us. We're pretty sure that God never goes home after a prayer meeting, after attending our prayer meeting, and saying, well, those were the dumbest prayers I ever heard. God never has that reaction to our prayers, does He? God never says, well, that was the poorest sermon I think I've heard in a long time that Pastor Casey preached today. God never says, Jim is praying again. I guess I got to go listen. He might have something to say this time. God doesn't say that. We know that He doesn't say that. We know that He never feels that way. And we appreciate that about Him. It's a wonderful thing to be able to trust that God is walking with us. But guys, we must walk with Him. We must seek Him out. We must listen to Him. We must share our hearts with Him. We must let Him comfort us. We must let Him teach us. Serna and I like to walk together, and usually wherever we're walking is in the UP, although sometimes we walk down here. And, in the Pitcher River Forest, or we've been walking the North Country Trail, and so whenever we walk, of course, we can talk about the grandkids, or about the coming message, or about the thing that's going on at the house, or somebody that has needs. And, and Sharon is trim and fit. And I have to rest a little bit more often. Because I sit in the office studying all week too much. And we have times of fellowship. We have great times during those walks. And we the ride there, the ride back is kind of like a walk, And we talk all the way, we talk all the way back. And if she wants to push one of my buttons, she can call up somebody and talk to somebody else on the phone, like her daughter that she talks to every day. Yep, you're with me now. This is my time. Talk to her tomorrow. Yes, I love my daughter, but talk to her tomorrow. Some years ago, we went up and did a big walk in the Pictured Rocks. Remember, Fred was there and some others, and Tina, who's now in Wisconsin, and half a dozen others, and it was a blast. Halfway there, some of the young people decided, You know, I've never thrown a log off a cliff. I think I'll try that. So they threw logs off cliffs, and fortunately it didn't fall off the cliff. But we had fun sitting and eating the meals and talking and sharing together. That's what God, that's all God asks of us, is to walk with Him and to listen to Him and talk with Him. God took Enoch to paradise. God, Hebrews wants us to understand this. Genesis wants us to understand this. Because He appreciated Enoch so much. Now let me hasten to add that Enoch was a dummy. Enoch was ignorant. You say, well, that's kind of harsh. Yeah, but think about it. Enoch understood a little bit about the first covenant. He didn't know anything about the second covenant with Noah, or the third covenant with Abraham, or the fourth covenant with Moses, or the fifth covenant with David. He didn't understand anything about the new covenant in the New Testament. He didn't know anything about Moses or Solomon or David or Elijah or Elisha. He didn't know anything about anything. But God didn't need his advice. And when we pray and we walk with God, we fellowship with him, he doesn't need our advice either. Though we are incredible geniuses and we know how the universe ought to run. He wants what? Our fellowship. He wants us to listen to him and to talk to him and to think about him. He wants us to attend a Bible study and then think about the discussion and then work with those issues all week long. He wants us to take a book of the Bible, any book of the Bible, and say, I want to understand this book. And to read the book, and maybe to write down some important things or underline some important verses, and then think about those verses all week long. God, what do you want me to understand about yourself here? God, what do you want me to understand about my salvation here? God, what are the people that this verse is talking about? What are they going through? How is what they're going through what I'm going through? As we analyze the scripture and understand new things about the scripture, it's not just facts. You understand that Enoch walked with God and was not. That is not a trivia question. You know what I mean? It's not a footnote. It's not an interesting bit of information. It's a friendship story. It's about how much God appreciated someone who said, I'm going to make sure I have time to walk with God and to know Him and to be His friend. Why don't we open our hearts to God this way? Because we've learned from all the people we know that we can't do that without getting advice or criticism. Hey? I remember in a church that I knew, the pastor, his wife, his daughter got pregnant when she was 17. She didn't want to be there. She hated the move. She missed her friends. She was lonely, so she got pregnant without a husband. So someone in the church asked him, how's your daughter doing? He said, I have no daughter. How's that going to help anything? Can that girl go to her dad and say, Dad, I have a problem? No, that dad has just pushed her away forever. And forever said, you're no good. I don't care anything about you. You're an idiot. I would never do anything like that. Well, maybe I would. Long time ago, Sharon and I were young and foolish and poor. And so my friend had a car that we could drive. It was that Javelin thing. And we could buy his, but we didn't have it for a while. And so the car we had died. And so Sharon's brother lent us a old antique two-door convertible GTO or something. red, perfect mint condition. And so we drove it for 2 weeks, and I'm getting kind of nervous, you know. I don't want to have any problems with this. It's the middle of the winter, and so, man, you know, anything could happen. And so we go over to Muskegon, and this car doesn't have, the wipers don't work, and the blower doesn't work. And so I have to keep stopping and scraping off the window all the way home, and I have a little tiny hole in the, you know, in the ice that I can see through. And it's snowing out, and it's blizzardy, and it's icy. And I get to Grand Rapids, and I go down our street, and I go down the next street, and I pull in the driveway, and I wait for Sarah, because she's following me. And so someone is objecting to the story. I see the phone ringing. And so she doesn't come, and I get a phone call. I had an accident with the car. I took out a mailbox. You know, all you had to do was get home, you know, and chew her out. And of course, after years of maturing, I realized, A, we didn't have to go on that day. We could have waited a couple days. And B, she's a lot more important than a stupid car, no matter what kind of car it is, eh? And so I failed in that, just like that pastor failed. I failed in that. You know, Sharon had a problem. She came to me, and I yelled at her. There are things that we don't think we can say to our parents because they're not going to understand. They're not going to accept it. And they're going to blow up, or they're going to tell us for half an hour what we did wrong. But that's not God. God will not judge you. He does not judge you ever about anything because he judged his son. All of God's judgment was taken out on his son. He does not judge you. He accepts you. Now, he knows where you are, and he knows that he needs to help you grow, and he may have to bring a difficult thing into your life. But you don't ever have to worry about going to God and saying, God, I feel this way, and having him say, well, that's stupid. We don't have to worry. We can walk with him in safety, trusting his reactions to the things that we say to him. I talk to God all day long. I have my prayer times, but I also talk to him all day long. God, isn't it a beautiful day today? God, what do you think about them politics? God, there's a nice deer over there. I talk to him as a friend because he is my friend and he is with me and he is listening all the time. Paul said to pray without ceasing, and that doesn't mean go into a closet 24/7. It means to talk to God and to listen to God. Adam's grandson fulfilled what God had wanted with Adam and why he created the human race. And so he took him home to be with him in paradise, the second Eden, to say to all of us, if you walk with me, I will bring you home to walk with me in paradise. And so walk with him this week. Talk to him all day long about all that's going on in your life. Talk to him about your family member who's straying or dying. Talk to him about your car not working right and how that makes you feel. Talk to him about all the things, but listen to his advice and listen to what the Bible has to say to you. I am a pastor. And so as a pastor, I have to lead. And there are times when I've led that people have said, thank you for your leadership. There's other times when I've led when people have said, that was the stupidest thing I ever saw. What's wrong with you? Are you an idiot? There are fathers and mothers here today, and fathers and mothers are listening. And if you're a parent, you have to lead, and you have to decide, and you have to make decisions. There will be people who don't appreciate your leadership. either family or friends or children. Someone will not appreciate your leadership. Others will appreciate your leadership. But you have to lead. There are many listening today who have been or are leaders at work. And anytime you make a decision, someone is going to have something critical to say about you. Anytime you lead in any direction at all, someone is not going to appreciate it. How can we accomplish anything? By walking with God. If we walk with God like Enoch did and like Elijah did and as David did, if we walk with God, we won't care about the criticism and we won't care too much about the praise. Because we'll know that we're following God and that we have His appreciation and that we have His goodwill. I remember as a dad saying to my kids, you know, I'm a missionary, I don't have a lot. I'm a pastor in a small church, I don't have a lot. You can't have a vehicle. You can't even have insurance or a driver's license until you have a job and you need a vehicle. Because if you get a driver's license, you're going to be on my insurance and I can't afford it. You think that was appreciated? But I had to do it. It was okay. They understood sooner or later. They don't hold it against me now. I asked my children to go to a new public school 3 times. It was hard on them. Virginia was a senior when we came here. But she appreciated it eventually. And she has recovered from attending this school. Hey, Derek came here and thrived. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this invitation that you've given us to come and walk with you. We thank you for the wonderful intention that you had with us when you made us to walk with you. We thank you for this message here in your word that says to us, walk with me, and I'll make sure that you walk with me forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these examples of people that walked with you, and they could face whatever it was that they had to face, and it didn't bother them. We know that there are people who have to face cancer here in this church, and they're out there in the community listening. We know that there are people that have to face the loss of a job, criticism from being leaders. We know that there are people that have to face economic hard times and the terror over what in the world is going on in the world. But Heavenly Father, help us to walk with you, that we may face whatever is happening, whatever comes up from day to day, with absolute confidence in your goodwill. We pray this in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. Tom, come and lead us in our final song.
Everyone, please stand.